Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with Ed Alexander. Ed is producing and engineering our show today. It is the Buckmaster Show for Wednesday, the midweek edition, the 18th of February, midweek edition in kind of the middle of February 2015. Hope you're having a good day. We're coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and we live stream our show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Usually we have our podcasts available in mid-afternoon on the buckmastershow.com website. You can check out all of our programs. We have them all archived there for you for 24/7, anywhere, anytime listening. We're going to begin with the controversy over vitamin supplements. Then we're going to talk with the author of a new book about an Arizona governor who, believe it or not, served 7 terms. We'll talk about, we'll meet the biographer for Governor George Hunt. And we'll close out the show with our consumer contributor, Tom Collier. The Buckmaster Show live line is open for you, 790-2040, and our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. If you'd like to join in the conversation about vitamin supplements, like to hear from you. Perhaps you're a big proponent of vitamins, we'd like to hear that. Or if you're not on board, we'd like to hear that as well. You can also find us at Bill Buckmaster. That is our Facebook page, as we push toward now 4,000 friends of the Buckmaster Show. There is still room for more. We join now here in studio Dr. Victoria Mazes. She is the Buckmaster Show contributor on health. Dr. Mazes is the executive director of the University of Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine. She is a professor of medicine, family medicine, and public health. She is internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine and is committed to health promotion and pioneering change efforts that solve America's healthcare system problems. She's the editor of the Oxford University textbook, Women's Integrative Health, and the author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. I think that book came out, you just had your 2-year anniversary?
That's right.
I thought so. 2 years.
Yes, already. Yes. Lots of healthy babies born.
Yes, in that 24-month period. And good information in that book. You can learn more about Victoria Mazes on her website, and it is Victoria Mazes, that's MAIZESMD.com. She's also on Twitter at VMazes. Victoria, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
The New York State Attorney General's office in early February accused 4 large national retailers of selling dietary supplements that were fraudulent and in many cases contaminated with unlisted ingredients. Dr. Mazes, this has really touched off a national debate on supplements.
Yes, it has. And I want to say that as an integrative medicine physician and teacher, I'm a proponent. I use dietary supplements in my practice with patients quite frequently. I take them myself. I'm glad that they are accessible to us. And this is a very important and, we could do much to make them higher quality and be sure that they're safe and effective.
You write today your blog in the Hill publication out of the nation's capital, out of Washington. You ask some very, and you cover some very important ground, beginning with this investigation and how the investigation was done. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So some of the controversy has to do with, did the New York Attorney General do the appropriate test? So essentially it was found that using a method called DNA barcoding, that only 20% of the products they pulled from the shelves actually had DNA of the herb that was supposed to be in the bottle. The challenge is that DNA barcoding is a relatively new method. It's not clear that it is a useful method when you're looking at herbal extracts, because the heating process, when you create herbal extracts, denatures the protein. So it may be okay that you don't find any of the original DNA, because the DNA is denatured and destroyed in the creation of herbal extracts. And what really should have been done would have been a backup. Use the DNA barcoding, but use a second widely accepted chemical analytical method to assess these supplements and not only depend on the DNA barcoding, which many people have criticized.
The DNA barcoding, as you point out, is relatively new. Is it a process that has been deemed to be quite reliable in the past?
Well, it is a process that's fascinating, and it's probably a wonderful addition to analytical chemistry, but not perhaps the right test for looking at dietary supplements. And that's where some of the controversy is. We are unsure whether indeed these were very low quality, very poor products, or whether the wrong test was used.
So the DNA barcoding could have been used as a supplement to more traditional testing.
Exactly.
And if the two had been combined, we would have had a better footprint, a better look at what really was contained in those capsules.
That's right. Now, you know, having said that, the quality of dietary supplements is variable. There are rules about creating good dietary supplements, and there are some ways to be sure that you get a good one. For example, the United States Pharmacopeia does a program where they go in as an independent third party and test and analyze and examine whether or not products are of high quality, whether they contain the herb that is listed on the label and that there are no contaminants and it's in the amount that's listed. And if indeed it does fulfill its promise, then that company, that manufacturer, can put a USP label on that bottle. And another company that does that is the NSF, the National Sanitation Foundation. They also look at water purity systems. So they have a similar process where they pull products from the shelves, they examine them, and they verify that what it says on the label is on the label. So that's one way that consumers who may have read these reports and feel like, am I just wasting my money, can ascertain that they are getting a high quality product with NSF or USP labels.
And does cost necessarily mean you might be getting a better product? Because I'm just assuming that these retailers were offering these supplements at a very competitive price.
Yeah, I don't think cost always is the deciding factor. Some herbs, for example, ginseng, Asian ginseng, is a very expensive herb. And so, you know, when the raw material is very expensive, sometimes people are maybe a little bit more liable to cheat. Human beings being
what we are.
But yeah. but others are synthesized in a lab. For example, you know, take a supplement like melatonin. It is made synthetically in a lab. And so it's not expensive to create that. And cost may not be that important a factor, and you may be paying more because, you know, one store just is at a higher end than another. Also, and I don't have relationships to any of these companies, but, you know, some stores, for example, Costco, which is kind of known for having high quality, demands very high quality of their dietary supplements. And that's a relatively inexpensive place for people to purchase.
790-2040, if you would like to join in this discussion concerning supplements with Dr. Victoria Mazes, who is the executive director at the Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. We're talking about the highly, widely publicized report that came out in the New York Times, where actually these brands at Walmart Walgreens, Target, and GNC were pulled from the shelves, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Well, the manufacturers were given a cease and desist order, and then in response to that, the stores pulled the products from the shelves.
Yeah. And we're not saying here that the supplement industry is perfect. There is certainly, it's an industry that has been fraught with poor products.
I think that, yes, the dietary supplement industry has certainly had its issues. And again, if we're talking about consumer beware, the things that are most often problematic are products that are for sexual enhancement, for weight loss, for bodybuilding. Those are just rife with problems. You know, on the other hand, the industry is doing a better job overall at following good manufacturing processes, which are now required by the FDA for all products.
And that came on board in 2010, that the companies were required by the FDA to follow these what are called good manufacturing practices.
That's right. It was a gradual implementation, because you have to think about that, you know, there are huge companies and they sometimes have an advantage. You know, they can more easily afford the expenses of these third-party validation from USP or NSF, for example. And then they were kind of boutique, herbalist tradition, mom-and-pop kind of outfits, and it was more expensive for them. They may not be able to afford that kind of labeling. And they were given more time, essentially, to get all of these processes in effect. But now, anyone who's going to sell dietary supplements on the marketplace has to follow these good manufacturing processes, which, generally speaking, has made the products better. Our neighbors to the north do it better than us, though. You know, Canada has a better set of rules.
Are they stringent, more stringent then?
Yes, they are. They created natural products part of their FDA. So they don't regulate them like drugs. They recognize that they're natural products, that they have a variety of different chemicals in them. They're not a single chemical compound. But they don't allow any grandfathering of products, which we did with our DSHEA Act. And they say, you know, it has to be labeled with what the use is, and we allow something called structure function claims, which can be very confusing. They put on mandatory caution labels, which we, you know, don't require. And so they actually have a much stricter set of rules about registering products and being sure that the products are of high quality for their citizens.
All right, we're going to take our first break of the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040. If you would like to join in the discussion, Dr. Victoria Mazes sticks around. We'll talk some more about supplements and this controversy as we continue on the midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show.
Did you know that Goodwill of Southern Arizona spends 90 cents of every dollar supporting 5 youth programs, 5 adult programs, and over 500 full-time jobs? When you donate and shop with Goodwill, you strengthen our community by empowering children, adults, and people with barriers to employment. Friendly employees are ready to assist you with your donations at over 40 locations across Southern Arizona. Drop-off locations and more information are available at GoodwillSouthernAZ.org.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you slapping yourself with a board for taking your car to Quirky Lube? Why not a mechanic where you won't need penitence? Perfection Auto Works, since 1994, specializes in Porsche, Audi, Mercedes, and BMW. We also take in your Toyotas, Fords, and Chevys, from brakes and tune-ups to full restorations. 323-8650, PerfectionAutoWorks.com.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We're talking with Dr. Victoria Mazes, the Executive Director at the University of Arizona-based Center for Integrative Medicine. We're talking about the firestorm that really was touched off a huge national debate over supplements, and it all started in early February when the New York State Attorney General's Office accused 4 national retailers of selling dietary supplements that were found to be fraudulent, in many cases contaminated with unlisted ingredients. We talked about Canada has moved toward having a separate branch of the equivalent of their FDA that looks overseas supplements. I wish this country, the FDA, would have a similar situation, Dr. Mazes.
I think that would be great. And that's what I wrote about in that piece that got published on The Hill, is that we really could do a much better job at providing safe, high-quality, effective supplements to Americans. Yeah.
It's a $6 billion, with a B, dollar industry, and certainly you would think the FDA would come to the conclusion that this deserves its own department for oversight.
I would think so, but
who knows? That's above our pay grade, I guess. Anyway, let's talk about supplements that you have used and recommend in many cases to your patients.
Well, I think this is an important part of the point. Sometimes people are just down on supplements and say we should just be using pharmaceuticals. You know, they're very carefully regulated. You could be sure that what it says on the label that you get from your pharmacist is really what's in it. Having said that, some of the things that we use pharmaceuticals for, there are safer alternatives. And I always think we should use the safest product that we can for treating a particular condition. So one example I gave in the article was substituting things for proton pump inhibitors, which are medicines like Prilosec. They're now over the counter. They're very, very effective acid blockers. That's the good news. The bad news is they're very hard to get off of because when you try to discontinue them, you get this rebound hyperacidity that makes you more miserable than ever.
It really makes the problem worse when you try to get off of them.
Over the long term,
it can make it worse.
Don't get me wrong. These can be useful medicines. They can be used to help heal ulcers. They definitely have a role. Having said that, they were never approved for use beyond 6 months. And yet people sometimes are told, just stay on them. And the reality is they have risks. They have an increased risk of community-acquired pneumonia. They have an increased risk of hip fractures. They have an increased risk of iron deficiency anemia and others.
And sometimes then you recommend instead of those drugs, something called DGL.
Yes. So one of the issues that people sometimes see me about is they are on one of these proton pump inhibitors and they want to get off, but they can't. Every time they try to taper or stop, they feel miserable. And so this is one of the places where I think dietary supplements can be incredibly useful. And there are a number of different dietary supplements that I use as people are trying to get off. So one thing I recommend is DGL, which stands for deglycerizinated licorice. This is a tablet that you can get over the counter. You chew it, and it basically coats your esophagus and your stomach. And it could be used, you know, for a sort of garden variety heartburn. And it's one of the things I use to help people get off of the PPIs.
How about anxiety drugs?
Well, so that's another really great example. Lots of people depend on things like Ativan or Xanax or Valium or medicines like that, the benzodiazepine class of medicines, to help them manage anxiety. And again, these pharmaceuticals can be, you know, wonderful in cases of acute stress, but sometimes people start taking them long term. And there, for example, we know that they're associated with increased risk of falls in the elderly. If you fall when you're elderly and you break your hip, you may shorten your life. We've also found that these benzodiazepines are associated with poor cognitive function. So people's brains don't work so well when they're on them. And most of us like having our brains be sharp. And so it's important to realize that there are other things that we could do for anxiety. And by the way, not just dietary supplements. We could go for a brisk walk. That helps me when I feel anxious.
Mm-hmm.
We can learn self-regulation practices like using our breath, a calming breath. Dr. Andrew Weil sometimes teaches the 4-7-8 breath. We can go to a yoga class. We can do other kinds of quieting practices like guided imagery, as an example, to help us center and quiet. But then there are also different supplements that we can use.
So where do we go from here? Is this DNA barcoding that we talked about that was used in New York, is this something that we'll probably see more of as supplements are tested using the DNA barcoding?
I don't know. I think it's an important question. I would hope that someone would fund a study where they, head-to-head put DNA barcoding against these other analytical methods that have been traditionally used, and then we'll actually have an answer of the DNA works in these situations, but not those situations. And we'd know what the appropriate use of it was in dietary supplements. I think that study badly needs to be done.
And again, a third party evaluation is something consumers can find out about on the internet, correct?
Yes. So another thing that I often recommend to people, if you're spending somewhere between $10 to $30 a month on supplements because you are using a multivitamin or you're using DGL or fish oil or melatonin or, you know, just other products that people commonly use, you can buy a subscription. I have no relationship to any of these companies, but you could buy a subscription to consumerlab.com. And they're a third-party agency that pulls products from the shelves and tests them and will actually put out a report that says which are the companies that are producing good high quality products, but they charge a membership fee to access that information. So if you're spending approximately that, you know, $10, $20, $30 a month, it may be well worth the $20 membership fee in Consumer Lab, that's the annual fee, to sort and make some decisions about which are the best products.
And again, that is consumerlab.com if you're looking for a third party evaluation and really give you some good information before you even buy supplements.
Yes, and I do think it's important to do your homework before you go to the store. There are free sources as well. The NIH has an Office of Dietary Supplements, you know, there are other places that you could go. If you're a healthcare provider, I highly recommend the Natural Medicine Comprehensive Database, which can help you sort some of this information. That also has a membership fee. But it's important to know what you're seeking to buy before you get to the health food store, because once you're there, your advisor is going to be a clerk who, you know, is maybe being taught something by the industry, but is perhaps not the most knowledgeable person.
Dr. Mazes, thank you very much. Dr. Victoria Mazes, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
Dr. Mazes is the Executive Director of the University of Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine, and we thank her for coming on the Buckmaster Show to talk about health with us every month. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show, midweek edition on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Hi, Dr. Kevin Lehman for 5-Star Termite and Pest Control. You know, we've had the same technician at our house for 11 years, and he's wonderful. But you know what? What does that tell you about the company? It tells you it's a great company who treats their people right. And they treat us customers great. I wouldn't use anybody. Truly, truly, listen to me. But 5-Star Termite and Pest Control.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a 4-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Please join the UA College of Science, which celebrates the premiere of its 10th free public lecture series starting Monday, January 26th. This year's 7-lecture series topic is Life in the Universe, which explores our universe of molecular, biological, and cosmic scale to ask, what is life and how do we recognize it? Each program starts at 7 p.m. More information at cos.arizona.edu.
Hi, Wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $84 a month for the first 6 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card after online redemption. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 5/3/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Thursday, a newsmaker interview with Rick Myers. Mr. Myers is with the Arizona Board of Regents. Plus, we'll talk with world-renowned comet discoverer Dr. David Levy. Buckmaster, during the noon hour, AM 1030 KVOI is the place for all of our programs. And, of course, we're also on buckmastershow.com for our worldwide live streaming, podcasts, and complete show archive. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Arizona Governor George W. P. Hunt was proof that style and physical appearance neither guarantee nor preclude political success. Governor Hunt weighed in at 300 pounds. He wore, had a rather odd way of dressing. He bumbled his speech, but he had an extremely successful political career that spanned the state's populism of the 1890s to the 1930s New Deal. A territorial representative and 7-time Arizona state governor, Governor Hunt joined Woodrow Wilson in making the Democratic Party the party of progressive reform. There's a new biography out about Governor Hunt. It's called George Hunt, Arizona's Crusading 7-Term Governor. The author is Dr. David Berman. The book is published by the University of Arizona Press. David Berman is a Professor Emeritus of Political Science and Senior Research Fellow at the Morrison Institute at Arizona State University. He has published dozens of peer-reviewed journal articles and 10 books, including Politics, Labor, and the War on Big Business, published by University of Colorado Press. And Dr. Berman joins us now on the Buckmaster Show, a live line. David, how are you?
I'm fine.
What led you to do a book about Governor Hunt?
Well, he was a character in several of the books I had written earlier on Arizona politics. I had talked about him. He was important in the progressive movement, as you just mentioned. But I thought he was such a fascinating character, I wanted to know more about him. Seems to me that my books are sort of a progression of one reminds me of doing something else or makes me think of doing something else along the same line. You know, they spark your imagination. So I set out to find out more about Hunt and cover his entire career, starting with his birth in Huntsville, Missouri, and all the way down to the Depression years.
And he served 7 terms, but the terms at that time were 2-year terms. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah.
So he was in office for how many years?
He was actually in office probably 13 years. He had to sit out 1 year while there was a dispute over who won the 1916 election. And the fellow who won it, Tom Campbell, served the first year of that term until Hunt was able to convince the Supreme Court that he was actually the winner. But he sat out a year. So I guess his total years would be about 13.
What influence did Hunt have on Arizona becoming a state, Dr. Berman?
Well, Hunt was in the territorial legislature when the issue in the 1890s, when that issue was a burning issue. And he had become a very active progressive politician that time and became president of the Arizona Constitutional Convention, the only one we had. That was back in 1910-11. And he became something at odds with the powers to be in Washington, because he favored things like the initiative referendum recall. And that, in a way, got in the way of statehood. They had to take the recall of judges out of the Constitution that they had written in order to satisfy President Taft. But that accomplished, he and the Constitution he had written, along with others, became the Arizona's Constitution, and we achieved statehood. We put the recall back right in immediately after that to show Taft we didn't.
And
they're not going to hurt us.
Unlike today, where Arizona is dominated by Republicans, the early Arizona statehood and in the 20s and 30s was very much Democratic, correct?
That's right. It was, though there was a lot of conflict within the Democratic Party in Hunt's time. He was leader of the progressive wing of the party, and the corporations that he campaigned against and the more conservative elements were his opponents. Hunt was remarkable. You know, he took on the rich and the powerful. His campaigns as a progressive were largely directed at the mining companies and the railroads, the big powers in the state, and he was war with the workers and trying to distribute benefits, get more benefits for common people rather than for an elite group. So the party was dominant, but divided, and Hunt's wing was always in conflict with the more conservative wing.
He was a big man, as I mentioned, 300 pounds, my goodness. And I also mentioned he had kind of an odd dress and bumbling speech. How pronounced were those two other attributes?
Well, he was not well educated. His family was very proud but poor, I think you could say. They up in Huntsville, and by the time he was growing up, they grew up in an era that was devastated by the Civil War, and his family had lost their income, and so he had limited schooling, and he never really developed as an orator by any means. He was very good on one-on-one relationship. His spectacular dress was, in part, and his weight both came somewhat later in life. He actually was an early picture, so he was a quite thin and handsome man. He just put the weight on, and he ate well, and that's when he got money. See, and he started eating, and there was a correlation there. And but he dressed strangely in the eyes of many Arizonans after he came back from Siam. He was the ambassador appointed by Woodrow Wilson to serve what's now Thailand, that country, and he developed the habit of wearing a pith helmet, a white pith helmet, and he had this strange walrus-like beard, you know, that was or a mustache, his attire changed quite a bit from that trip to Siam.
We're talking with David Berman. He is the author of a new book called George Hunt, Arizona's Crusading Seven-Term Governor. What are some of the takeaway messages about what he did that really has changed Arizona, and some of the reflections that we can see even today that we can attribute to Hunt, David?
Well, Hunt, I think, as far as, you know, he gave Arizona a constitution, a very progressive constitution. Arizona was regarded as a progressive state, one that he left behind the initiative and referendum recall that are in there. He pushed hard and secured some laws regarding regulation of corporations. The Corporation Commission was established as a fairly dynamic body that was supposed to regulate business and to keep them honest. And he pushed for some labor legislation, and those three areas were his strong points. I think his, he would be very relevant today, because you know he didn't see corporations as people. He would be one of the first persons to argue that corporations and big business is quite a bit different than mom and pop stores. to articulate those things, and he would be very, he'd be doing it today if he were living. And also he would point out to some of the disparities in income that has become a national issue too. So I see the things he was talking about then and trying to do very relevant today.
As far as the Colorado River, what role did he play?
Well, the Colorado River, I'm glad you mentioned that. Yeah, that was the fourth legacy he would have to put in there. He really thought, you know, the river came to Arizona and it was Arizona's water. It wasn't an interstate tributary. It was our water to use when we wanted it and where we wanted it, as much as we wanted. So he was somewhat narrow-viewed on that. But he did serve the purpose of protecting the water fairly effectively, on the long run at least, against California. The massive fear was that California was going to drain all the water out of Colorado and put it for their use. And he used that as a campaign issue. It was quite effective. Save Arizona, water for Arizona. That's our water. And eventually, you did get the Central Arizona Project, and there were some restrictions on how much water California could take. So he was sincere about it. He felt that and I think he had good reason to worry about California gobbling up our water.
All right. David Berman is the author of George Hunt, Arizona's Crusading Seven-Term Governor. The book is published by the University of Arizona Press. David Berman will be taking part in what should be a very lively panel at the Festival of Books on Saturday, March 14th, from 1 to 2 in the afternoon. That will be a kind of a history of Arizona panel, and that will be going on at the Integrative Learning Center at the University of Arizona. David, thank you for being with us.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
All right. 12:45 now on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back on this midweek edition, back after this.
Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS. That's 571-7847. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
It's time again for the Pima Council on Aging's Ages and Stages Expo. Join us for this free event on Saturday, February 28th at the Casino del Sol Resort. There'll be exhibits, educational seminars, demonstrations, prizes, and live entertainment. Learn lots of new ways to enhance your life as you grow older. Ages and Stages is brought to you by CareMore, Jackson White Attorneys, Zounds Hearing, Cascades of Tucson, Desert Diamond Casino, and the Assistance League of Arizona. So, don't miss Ages and Stages on February 28th, because if aging isn't your issue now, it soon will be. Call 790-0504 or visit us online at pcoa.org. PCOA, the place to go for help when you don't know where to start.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Delicious Silver City. Some good restaurants over there. New York Times says a road trip destination among those willing to drive for a good meal. And Smithsonian Magazine offering the authentic New Mexico experience. There is something for everyone in Silver City. Heck, you could be there for dinner because it's only a 3-hour drive east of Tucson to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Check out their website, southwestnewmexico.org, for the full listing of great places to stay and things to do. Great places to stay like Gila Hot Springs Ranch and Continental Divide RV Park. Let's welcome now to the Buckmaster Show, Mr. Tom Collier. Tom is one of 24 contributors to the Buckmaster Show, and Tom kind of focuses on consumer affairs. Tom, how are you?
I'm doing good. Just a second. Wait, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to hang up now. I've got to go on the radio with Bill Buckmaster. Yeah. No, it's going to be like 80 degrees here today. Hello? Hello?
Oh, Talking to friends back east in Boston.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, my goodness. Some of those pictures. Those giant icicles, did you see those were posted on Facebook? These giant icicles, and people are walking, I think, kind of dangerously underneath some of those things.
Well, we can count our blessings.
Yeah,
Not the least of which is the thermometer today.
Yeah, February tax time. Yeah, of course you could wait.
February, March, April tax time.
Well, yeah, you could wait till March, but lots of folks are meeting with their CPAs. We meet with Michael C. Flowers, but a lot of people do it themselves. And what are some of the top, well, let's call them tax scams that we should worry about?
I'm not sure that it's a scam right now, but one of the leading issues, if you do your own taxes and file them online, is the controversy now over the people who are attempting to file state taxes using TurboTax, which is a product of Intuit Company. And all of a sudden finding that somebody has filed a tax return in their name and because their tax return is rejected. Now, this is a developing story, and nobody's really quite sure what's going on. TurboTax and Intuit says it's not anything in their software. They haven't been hacked. There's nothing like that. And it's up to the IRS to investigate it. Well, the IRS is duly investigating it, as are the state departments of revenue in some of the other states where this has occurred. There are about 30 states that have detected fraudulent state tax returns. So far, nothing at the federal level. But for a while, TurboTax suspended your ability to file your state tax return using their software for a couple of weeks so that they could investigate it. That has since been restored. But it's leaving consumers in a quandary because if my information has been hacked, should I wait to file it? If TurboTax is saying, well, there's nothing on our end of the deal which is untoward or unseemly, and we're going to leave it to the IRS to examine it, well, the IRS has already said based on their understaffing, that if you do a refund, it's going to be late, much later than usual. And then we throw the additional burden of finding out whether or not there is indeed something untoward or unnecessary or a hacking or a problem going on with this online tax filing system. As I was looking at this, watching this story, a mental picture developed in my mind. Do you ever read John le Carré, mm-hmm. George Smiley, The Spies, all mm-hmm. the spy novels? Mm-hmm. I remember this mental picture was Smiley when he was going to write something. He was take a piece of glass and a plain piece of paper and set the paper on top of the glass so that when he was writing with pencil, there wouldn't be any impression underneath, you know. They're talking about going back to paper and pencil. That's the surest way to make sure that you're not hacked electronically. And I suppose if they're not going to teach cursive in school anymore, then by golly, that's the same as encryption anyway. But I'm the decision is whether or not you want to go ahead and file your tax return. I would suggest that you go ahead and do it, because if somebody has filed, you need to know that. If you get a rejection, you need to know that. What the next step is would be to contact your state tax Department of Revenue, State Department of Revenue, and then contact TurboTax and also contact the IRS too, and explain that you believe that you have been the victim of fraud.
A taxpayer should really, a red flag should go up if a preparer or anyone else really is guaranteeing a really larger than expected refund, especially without examining your financial
records.
Oh, yeah,
just a flat-out guarantee. We'll get you more money than the other guys. That's a major red flag.
And they haven't even looked at your stuff.
That's a major red flag. The one statement that you can say, that they can say, that I would trust, is we will get you every deduction and every tax saving to which you are entitled. Tax minimization is not a crime. Tax mm-hmm. avoidance is. Mm-hmm. Avoid doing things criminally to avoid taxes is a crime. But minimizing your tax liability is not a crime. You know, we talked last month about sitting down and getting a W-2 and sitting down and calculating. Use that calculation portion, which I believe is on sheet 3 of the W-4 form, and sit down and figure out so that when your taxes are calculated at the end of the year, when come tax reconciliation time on April 15th, maybe you get a small refund, maybe you get a small tax liability that you have to pay.
Yeah, because folks go on and on about, oh, I'm going to get a big refund. That's actually your money.
That's poor planning. Poor, and you've loaned it to the federal government at no interest.
Right. Front page story today about, what's this about the payday lenders maybe back in Arizona? What in the world?
Well, it's an attempt to resurrect it in a new incarnation. A bill was introduced by a representative in Chandler. His name is Messnard, I believe. Yeah, J.D. Messnard, which would create the ability to make loans within the 36% interest cap in Arizona, which is they wouldn't exceed the 36% interest cap, which if you stop and think about it is a third, you know, that's a third of the amount of the loan. More than that,
36%.
33 and a third
interest.
Is a third. Anyway, but that's the cap. That's the top interest you can charge in Arizona. After the payday loans were eliminated in the 2008 election, and the people voted against it, the people voted to not to renew the provision about payday loans. The industry came back to the legislature and said, okay, well, we'll stay within the 36% cap, but we want to charge fees. We want to charge a daily fee. We want to charge a fee for keeping the books, a fee for sending you a letter, a fee for the calculating the fees that we're going to charge you. And so the legislature a couple of years ago said, okay, we'll let you do that, but we'll cap that at $150. What the bill that is filed by Representative Messner does is says, well, what we're going to do is we'll stay within the 36% interest, but we want to charge a maximum of 0.5 percentage point of the outstanding balance. Now, let's put some pencil to paper or mentally put some, punch on the calculator here on the smartphone and figure out what that means. So that means on a loan of about $3,000, that could be $15 a day in fees. That's in addition to the 36% interest. And the paper today reported that the Southwest Center for Economic Integrity calculated an amortization schedule. So payday loans are supposed to be to tide you over. A little cash flow crunch. The money's coming in, but the bill's due before the money comes in. So I'm going to do this little tide over loan. Okay? Mm-hmm. If I borrow under this scheme, that's being proposed in the legislature and being heard in the Commerce Committee today, if I borrow $500 and pay it back at $25 a month, it would take 3 years, and that $500 that I borrowed would have me paying back $1,900.
Oh, my. For the $500?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And, you know, the industry is saying, you know, it's an opportunity to do some additional fleecing, and it is a great cash cow, but it is a victimization. These people, I think financial education would be more beneficial to the state than something like this.
Thank you, Tom Collier. Have a great week. Thanks Tom.
Bill.
A big shout out to Mike Emery and the team at Perfection Auto Works. I've checked out the operation. It's over on... well, it's on North Beverly, one block south of Speedway. Perfection Auto Works, beautiful shop. I mean, this is the place. Got a great team of mechanics for all of your foreign and domestic automobile needs. Look at their website, perfectionautoworks.com. This afternoon, another of our local talk shows we like to tell you about, for Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw, 4 to 5. Ray Allen is the producer there. And then, of course, Wake Up Tucson, Chris and Joe will be back at 6 to 8, and then the Daily Double featuring Chris DeSimone and a guest host every day. Ed Alexander will be engineering those morning shows, and he'll be back with me at 12:04 tomorrow for our Thursday edition of Buckmaster. Till then, have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7. AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.